What we're about to address tonight. Where does God live? In which direction does he look? And what can he do? Those are three key things that has from eons of incarnation, people have always wanted to know. One thing we need to bear in mind is, if you are in the physical body, until you walk yourself and rise above that, you are filled with ego. And ego loves duality. That's why they said this was the world of duality. We contrast it. Good, bad, this, that, male, female, and all of that. And I remember as a kid, at Sunday school, I wanted to know, well, I have my father, I have my mother, they have their own. Who's God's father and mother? You might think it's only kids who ask that. Grown-ups still ask that today. They say, well, if God created everything, who created God? Because we're in the world of duality of ego, we cannot understand that something can exist without being created. We saw in the scriptures, when the good Lord said to Moses, go, I'm going to use you to bring my people out of Egypt to deliver the Hebrews. He said, Lord, well, who should I say sent me? Because nobody would believe me. At least you must have a name so that if I tell them, they might recognize that. I don't think the answer God gave Moses is what Moses was expecting. He said, tell them, I am that I am, sent you. Probably before that, nobody has ever heard that. I am that I am. In other words, nobody has to give me a name. You know, nobody needs to nurse me. Nobody needs to tell me how to ride a bike. So I am that I am. I existed before any existence, and I created that. Sometimes when I'm by the ocean, I wonder, how is it God is able to create this? Because you see the expanse of land. Where science proves, okay, the wind might allow the wave to rise and all of that. And they might even say, okay, the atmospheric pressure, this and this, makes the wind, created the wind. But how do you get that amount of water? And it's not just Pacific Ocean, you have Atlantic Ocean, you have India. How is God able to create that? So if God has that power, I'd like to know where God got his power from. So now let's start with this. Where does God live? Because they tell us God lives in our heart. If I look at my physical heart, I don't see God there. But they say God lives in my heart. God lives in everything. So does that mean God lives in the poop room too? Well, they say God lives, you know. So where does God live? We will answer that. We will see. It's a story I'm going to tell that will give us time. He said, in which direction does he look? Because we've had stories, the sun rises from the east, right? So we should always face the east when we pray. And he said, I used to wonder that. So God lives there. So that means God is not there in the west. Okay, some said face not. Well, what happened to the rest? And so if you go to a temple, a synagogue, a church, or a masjid, or a shrine, some will say, don't put your feet towards the east because that's where God lives. So, well, so what direction? So what direction should we face that God is not? So in what direction is it that, okay, God is looking at me, but if I face the other direction, God is not looking, right? We will find out. And then the last part, and what can he do? Because sometimes we've prayed for something and it didn't happen. So, well, God didn't answer my prayer. Apparently, he couldn't do that. Yeah. And those of us walking this path, when we meet those who strongly believe in the opposite, sometimes we're stumped to answer their question. And what can he do? Well, if he can do something, if he's the Almighty, if he's so powerful, why does he allow wars and battles to happen? Why does he allow children to starve and people harmed and all this and all of that? And that's why they say, well, what did they say? Religion is a what? Is a poison or something? You know that it makes the people lazy because they can't find the answer that science can at least. Yeah.
The communist phrase, religion is the opium.
Yeah, it's the opium of the masses. Thank you for that's exactly what I was looking for. So it's because they don't have answers, so they just put it on religion. Because if God does exist, why will he allow people to kill each other and this and that? So there goes our ego and the duality world of war. So now here's the story that will help us at least maybe get a little bit understanding. Once upon a time. Depending on what direction you're coming from in terms of your spirituality, there's a prophet, there's a pastor, there's an imam, there's a Brahmin, you know, there's a monk. Any of these titles, you can replace it. So there's a pastor, a Brahmin, who earned his living by performing religious rituals and prayers in people's homes. Some of us, where we have cleansed our houses, we know what we're talking about here. So one day, he was invited to the king's palace. It's like going to the White House. President wants you, come to conduct a special ceremony. We've seen where pastors went to the White House and prayed for President Trump, right? So it's the same thing. After completing the ceremony, the worship, as he was about to leave, the king asked him and said, "Oh pastor, or oh Brahmin, oh rabbi, oh imam, oh monk, you worship God every day, right? Then please tell me, where does God live?" Probably we like to go and visit to see for himself with his koro koro Allah. Oh, I know where God lives. Because when Jesus and Yogananda and all the ones who have gone to where God lives, when they tell us, we can't believe it, isn't it? They say, meditate. You will be able to find out where God lives. And then he asked the follow-up question. In which direction does he look? So that way, if I'm sitting on my, I may be just facing him so that I know God is seeing me and he's looking. And what can he do so that at least I know what I can ask him? Can he save my kingdom? Can he protect them from lions eating them or another country, you know, bombing them? So the Brahmin was surprised. He wasn't expecting that. But these profound questions. And asked for a month's time to find the answer. Won't you? If you know? It's like, okay. He didn't want to scratch his head. Like, Mr. President, please give me a month. I'll be back with the answers. So the king agreed. The days passed, but the Brahmin could not find the answers. Because just like, because you're a pastor doesn't make you a prophet, doesn't make you a God realized. I don't think it would take Jesus even 2 seconds to give an answer. But we are all where we are. And eventually we might get to the level Jesus is. So the pastor eventually, when he meditates and he does, he will understand what Jesus is saying. Then he might be able to hang out with Jesus. But for now, he's okay eating his croissant sandwiches. So as the deadline approached, he became anxious and sad. Seeing his father worried, the Brahmin's young son asked, "Father, why are you so upset?" The pastor explained the king's 3 questions and said he didn't know how to answer them. The boy smiled and said, "Father, don't you worry yourself. I will answer the king's question. Please take me with you." That's why, remember, we're talking about ego in the duality form. Don't let it fool you just because he's a young boy. God might be using him. Just because you are old as the potato chip doesn't mean you have the answer to. But something in that song is saying, yes. How old was Jesus when he was in this synagogue and the parents were looking for him and he was saying all this and the people were amazed, huh? So, please take me with you next time you go there. So when the month ended, the Brahmin took his son to the palace. The king repeated his 3 questions. What did the boy say? He said, the boy said, "Your Majesty, isn't it customary to honor your guest first before you bombard me with a question?" That sounds like something Jesus would, you know. Realizing his mistake, the king ordered his attendants to treat the boy with respect and offered him a glass of milk. In our case, maybe it would be some soda, right? Some Pepsi or something. Or some Gatorade. Or chocolate milk. So the boy stirred the milk with his finger and kept looking at it curiously. King asked, "What are you doing?" The boy replied, "I heard milk contains butter, but I can't see it." The king's man said, "Well, son, butter is there, but you have to turn the milk into curd and churn it to get the butter." Boy said, "Majesty, that's the answer to your first question. God lives in every being, just as butter exists within milk. But to realize him, one must churn the mind through devotion, meditation and guidance from a true teacher. Only then can the hidden divinity within be experienced." Do we understand this? You got to do the work. Go stay, got to meditate, then you will find out where God lives. Which is what Yogananda, Jesus and all, they've been telling us, isn't it? They know what they are talking about because they've experienced it. Just because we can see where God lives doesn't mean, if they say God lives in us, that means God lives in us. We just need to turn it around. The king was impressed and asked, "In which direction does God look?" The boy asked for a candle to be brought. When it was, he lit the candle, he asked, in which direction does this light shine? The king replied, its light spreads everywhere. The boy smiled and said, exactly. God's gaze is like this light, equal in all directions. He watches everyone without bias and rewards each according to their deeds. So next time you feel like facing west, or you're on the public transportation and your car is facing the wrong direction, quote and unquote, just know that God is there with you. You don't need to twist yourself to be in the east or north to be able to connect to God. It's still okay to face east or north, but now we understand this. The king nodded thoughtfully and asked the final question. What can God do? The boy replied, to answer that, we must change places, Majesty. You sit here where I'm sitting, and I will sit on your throne. Of course, now, you know when we see kids, we play along with them. Okay, they can learn. Okay. Amused and curious, the king agreed. The boy sat on the throne and said, Your Majesty, this is the answer. God can make a poor man sit on the throne, and a king sit in a beggar's place. Such is his power. The king was astonished and deeply moved. He praised the boy's wisdom and made him his royal advisor. Which is what those priests and Sadducees should have done with baby Jesus. Remember when he was teaching the angel? What school? Whose kid is this? So we know that God lives within every being and sees all with equal eyes. God doesn't care whether you're a woman, a man, a Republican, a Democrat, independent, or whatever. Doesn't care whether you are from Russia, United States, or it doesn't matter. Or you are poor. His power is boundless. He can change any situation in an instant. We just have to have that faith, and we must never feel that we're separated from God. True realization of God comes not through rituals, but through sincere devotion, humility, and selfless service. Because sometimes we put things before God. All God wants from us is our heart to connect. But if the ritual and ceremony will help you to give your heart and then do it. But what matters most is not the system. It's not the platform. It's not the mother load. It's your heart, your love. And may we be blessed that we continue to offer our love to God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.